attention to what the Creator of heaven and earth said. That's what's important. We can assume this, we can assume that, we can assume this, assume that. We're going to find out why He, God, took their lives. All right, so we'll go through that. Any more issues or thoughts? Yes.
I find it interesting in chapter 11, some things are an abomination.
Right.
But some things specifically aren't. You're correct. Still unclean, but they're not specifically an abomination. So I thought that
eating.
Contrast was...
For eating.
Right. So that contrast was interesting because there are things listed in there where, you know, I've had conversations where people just think that if you're unclean, then you've sinned. Well,
some
of these things detailed.
No.
That's
not the issue.
You didn't have to do anything for a bug to fall down.
Yeah, the issue here is not your sinning at all. The issue here is just uncleanliness and uncleanness. And it tells you how to get clean. That's basically the issue here in that 11th chapter is how you get clean. When you do this, this is how you get clean. It's a process. And God has a purpose for this because... Especially about the carcass. We'll talk about that more in detail. That's death. He doesn't want you to be handled around death. He wants you to be handled around what's life. But life is life. There is death. You must do something about the dead carcass. Whether it's clean or unclean animal. You have to do something about it. And he said, now here's how you're going to get clean again. It has to do not with, it has to do with what is holy and what is not holy. Not what is sin and what is not sin. Yes.
Just noticing something interesting in a lot of different areas outside of this chapter, when things are an abomination, it's unto him. But here it's saying it's an abomination to us.
Right, correct. Well, Jeff answered, he had a different word when he read that. Remember the word he used? You didn't use the word abomination in your reading. Yes, okay. Well, it's not profane either. It's just detestable. That's the word I believe he used, detestable.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically what the abomination really means. It is detestable. So when God says this is an abomination to me, it's detestable. And now he's showing us there are certain animals, things, that are detestable to us. We should have the very same exact approach. You understand what I'm saying? It's something that you don't hate, despise. It's just detestable. Okay, don't eat a bunch of bugs. It's detestable to you. Bugs are not sinning, are they? They're not transgressing the word of God, are they? They're just bugs, right? Or animals, or spiders, anything else on the sun. That's what they are created for, to do things that God wanted to do for. So there's certain things that we have to be in that. When we're association with God, calling us, or in the house of Israel, he's telling them, I want you to be clean as I am clean. Now he's going to show us the process of how, quote, clean he is, and how we are to become that way. That's the whole this whole process. It's not a matter of a bunch of do's and don'ts and do's and do's and don'ts. Do this because I am clean, and I want you to be my people. I want you to be my holy people. Therefore, I want you to understand things that are detestable to me. Make sure you understand anything that creeps and crawls on the floor, on the ground. This should be detestable to eat. You actually want worms in your garden, but you don't want to eat them. you want ladybugs in your garden, but you don't want to eat them. But you don't want to eat them. Right? They are a benefit for us in a lot of different ways. Okay, so let's begin here. I have much time left. Let's go here, the very first verse. All right, chapter 10, verse 1. It's, my personal opinion, it's horribly translated. And most of the translations out there. Okay, the two sons, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it. And offered something called profane before Yahuwah. That's one of the translations. The other translations have an abomination or unauthorized or something that is strange. Now, ask yourself a question. Now, remember, the previous chapter, they were all sanctified. Remember? And now, the next thing occurs, what were they doing? That was, they didn't leave outside the tent. They are now still inside that tent. What Daniel said, they're still inside there. They're still in the Holy of Holies. They're still in the same place. They were all sanctified, including these two brothers. They were sanctified. Now, we look at this thing and says, okay, what did they do? Last part of the verse. Which he did not command them. What does it say? Which he did not command them. The word profane is a horrible word. In Hebrew, it means that which is looking for a place to live, a lot. You're going, you're in one of your own country, and you're coming over and you want to have a hotel or motel to live, to rent out inside of another country. That's what we would call, if you want to use the word, profane. It means you're going to lodge somewhere else. And that word is used throughout the text as having to do someplace to lodge or someplace to live. And it does not mean you are a person who is a stranger to the land. That is, you don't live there. You live in another country and you live over here. And you're coming over to another area. So now we have a picture of what's taking place here. Yes, Daniel.
So to put it in my words, if I imagine this in my head, let's say, for example, all five of them are bringing their incense or censers before him. Aaron and his two younger sons got their fire source. Let's say they got it from the altar.
Okay. Yes.
And let's say the two sons, they grabbed it from the menorah.
They got the incense from?
Pretend they got the fire from the menorah.
Oh. Okay.
It's the wrong source.
It could be.
Is that the difficulty? Because when I read the word, my mind translates as alien, meaning it's in the wrong location. That's
wrong,
alien,
location.
Wrong location. Which means
that's the issue.
The source of
now,
the fire was the wrong
so
location.
So what's happened
source.
Is they did something that they're not commanded to do. Now we have to go find out what is it they did that God said, you didn't hear me. You didn't respond to what? You did something that is offensive to me. Literally, that's how it comes out as we keep on reading. It's very important to know that was the incense not of God? Yes, it was. They had incense in there, the kind of incense that God wanted. And they had their censers, the exact kind they're made and designed for the purpose of putting coals in there on this incense and putting, I mean, on in your what's it called? The censer that is the actual tool, and they put fire in it like they're supposed to, according to what we've already read, and then they put incense on top of it. And what happens to the incense? It turns into fire and it turns into smoke, and it flares upwardly. You remember that? That's how it works. Well, that's how it is, and how often they use it. The Bible has it for different reasons. You and Aaron use it sometime later. We'll find out what happened and what that incense is supposed to refer to. Anyway, he says now that he did not command them to do. That's the issue. All right? So he sent fire out from Yahweh. So fire came out from Yahuwah and devoured them, and they died before Yahuwah. Now, he said something very strange in chapter third chapter. This is the words of God. Third verse. This is what he said. By those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all of the people, I must be glorified. Okay, what was the issue? They're supposed to regard Yahuwah as holy. What did they do that was unholy? Which he did not command them to do. Well, that's for the issue. He did not command them to do it. They were not authorized by the Creator of heaven or Yahweh for them to do that. They were not allowed to do it. Someone else is supposed to do that, or he will do it when he wants to see. But he did not command them. They took it on themselves. They took it on themselves, which is really should tell us something very strong. And as if you're going to take me for granted, assume that I'm going to be pleased with everything you do, contrary to what I'm telling you going to do. We're talking about the priesthood here. We're not talking about you and me and every Joe. We're talking about the priesthood. Now, that tells you a function of the responsibility and the awesomeness of what the priesthood is supposed to be doing. We'll find more later on this chapter. Yes?
Okay. We are, according to the Brit Hadashah, considered priests. Now, and doesn't this say to us how really specific his instructions are, and that are we to presume or assume that, oh, well, I don't have to do that. I mean, really, it's like he's very specific. And in terms of even prayer for healing, there's ways in which to do this. And there are certain things we have to do and be to be recognized for that prayer, to be, you know, for the prayer to be heard. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going on and on, but but I just want to emphasize what I see is we are priests now, and this relates to us, and he is very specific.
Now, does anybody else have an idea about that? No, any idea about that? Any other point of view? Any other thinking? Any other thought? Yes.
Well, something that came to me was, since he didn't tell him to do it, you know, we don't know if it's the source where they got the fire, or if it's where they lit the fire, or if it's the time that they did it at, or it doesn't give a lot of specific detail, but it's interesting to me because I don't know that there's a correlation or not, but it made me think of the man who died when he touched the ark. He, in his mind, was doing everything to...
Right.
He was doing everything in his mind that was good. So it's not even necessarily that these men were trying to do something pagan.
Correct.
You know, they may have, at the time, thought that they were serving God, however misdirected. But the man was struck dead just like they were. And sometimes God needs to make a point so that we're not presumptuous.
Okay.
This just reminds me of, I was sent a DVD about Halloween and should we celebrate Halloween? And out of this was that by the time Jim Staley got done stating what he was stating is that we as a church have taken it upon ourselves to make mixture of what God created, his holy days, his timings, his calendar, and we have come in and we say, oh, this is for the children, this is for the grandmother, this is for the old lady, and we have implemented in strange fire.
That's called sin.
Yes.
This was not apparently sin.
No.
Something else was involved here.
Like Eve, when he said, Eve, remember what Eve said, touching? Remember what she told Satan?
Yeah.
I never heard God say before, don't touch that tree.
No, wait a minute. Women think differently than men do by a huge, giant margin.
So we say, don't touch?
Women, how many times? Women always will say that. I've heard women always, by the way, child, don't touch the stove. Dad would say, get away from the stove.
Yeah, you guys make
Mama said, don't touch the stove.
Because? That's,
women think that way. He did not damn her or curse her because he used the wrong words.
Well, I thought he was not damned her, but added.
He didn't add anything. She was there. Do you think God only talked to Adam and Eve didn't exist? And 30 years later?
No, I wasn't saying that.
He always talked with her. No, he's always talking. Don't take this and interpret something that's not there.
Well, I didn't see that before they said, she said, and he
don't
said,
worry
don't
about
touch
it. He told Adam that. And
don't touch it.
And to Eve, that means, don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't touch it.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay, I thought
I don't see no difference in that
like
point
adding,
of view.
You know,
that's
no
my personal opinion. We're getting off subject matter here. We got to get back on this one. Got to get back on this one here. We go back here now. What did these two guys do? Yes, Jeff.
One of the things that might suggest as to what happened actually is in Leviticus 16, verses the first part of it. Because it starts out and says, you know, the Lord spoke to Moshe after the death of his two sons of Aharon.
Yes,
and
yes.
When they drew near before the Lord and died, the Lord said to Moshe, tell Aharon, your brother, not to come any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die.
Amen.
But one of the key points is that come in any time you want. And then he just goes into talking about the Day of Atonement, which is the only day and the only time that the high priest ever brings that inside the veil.
That's correct.
Whatsoever.
They were not commanded to do that.
Right. So it was
foreign
to the time.
He says, I did not command you to do that. It's the issue of not whether or not the fire was strange, weird, bizarre, from another place. The incense was holy. Incense holder was holy. It was sanctified in the 8th chapter, remember? In the 8th chapter, everything and all its utensils, including those incensers, the ones that hold the coal, were sanctified. They're already set aside to do a function, a certain function, for a certain reason, for a certain purpose. All right? Now, when you put in the incense, and you enter into the Holy of Holies, what does it do? Big, huge cloud. Right? And it represents something. What does it represent? We're in the Holy of Holies. It's not sin. What's Holy of Holies? Everything's sanctified, including the smoke. That's sanctified. It's holy. Nothing unholy goes into that place. So, what is it? No, listen. Jeff went ahead on me. That's fine. He did just great, because otherwise I'd leave that very same place. But something that we're not commanded to do, except when God commands them to do it. So a priest must do what? Hear the word of the Lord. Hear it. Pay attention and do it. Okay? Yes.
Separating sin from there's certain ways things work.
Correct.
God is saying, this is how this works. If you do it this way, it'll work. If you don't do it this way, it's not going to work.
Right.
So it's not the judgment and the shame. It's just there's a way things work, and let's do it the way it works. There was something else I was going to say. Now I can't remember.
What was the purpose for all of this? Do you remember? Remember the previous chapter? The elders had to bring certain animals in order for there to be known as an atonement for the house of Israel. Right? Who lit the fire? Who lit the fire? Fire came down from above and lit the fire. It came from God. God ignited the fire. And those sacrifices were offered. They were offered to put upon. Now, Aaron had to do all the cutting and cleaning and all that kind of stuff, but he didn't start the fire. God, the fire came from God. God started the fire. Yes.
Okay. Well, I remembered. Study to show yourself approved. We are expected to know what to do and how to do it. It's, you know, study to show yourself approved. So that in itself is the sin.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to argue that issue. But the thing that's fascinating here is these two men did something contrary to the command. Not that they heard the command. God did not command them. Different issue than they have broken my command. They did it without my command. That's a different phrase than saying, I transgressed the law. Yes.
Well, as Jeff clearly pointed out, that it clearly, as far as Leviticus chapter 16 is concerned, the two men were not supposed to offer incense for God, period. They were not supposed to do that.
Who was supposed to?
Much like, for example, if I say, God, I'm going to go kick that person in your name. Well, wait a minute. God did not command me to go kick someone in his name. It's against God's laws. They broke his law right there.
Right, but what they happened to the group? What happened to the rest of the tribe? What happened to Aaron? What happened to his other two brothers?
They didn't break the rule. Those two men did.
No, no. How did they respond? That's what Moses was angry about, and they didn't respond according to what was commanded. And then Moses had to be corrected by Aaron. Wow. Did you catch that?
I'm really confused.
Okay. The 8th chapter talks about sanctification of everything in the tabernacle and all its utensils, including Aaron's clothes, the brothers' and the sons' clothes, every part of their clothing that was set aside had to be set aside and sanctified, put about for a certain purpose. Then the next chapter there for 7 days. Remember 7 days? And they had to go through certain ritual things, and certain things become what? Holy. They had to become holy before God. And then the next chapter, Aaron is the one who is responsible. Not Moses. Moses was responsible for the 8th chapter, he's responsible for the 10th chapter, I mean 9th chapter, but he wasn't responsible for the 10th. The 10th one now, Aaron is in charge. Of what? The congregation? No. Of the holy things of God. Moses is no longer part to handle those things in the sense of holiness. He was to do it the first time, sanctify them all. And then God made Aaron and his sons sanctified, made them holy, made them clean from being unclean. Then on the 8th day, remember the 8th day something happened? You remember that? Let's go back to 9th chapter, was it? Then it came on the 8th day, chapter 1, verse 1, rather, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take for yourself a young bull, an offering for a ram, and a burnt whole offering, sin offering, and a blemish offering before Yahuwah. Now, it's very fast. They read this going on. And the children of Israel, verse 3, chapter 9, the children of Israel, you shall speak and say. Now, this is what Aaron was supposed to say. He is now the high priest. He is now sanctified. His Aaron now is to do a function. He's set aside, sanctified, doing a function. Very special function. And he says, you will take a kid of goat as a sin offering and a calf of lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a holo offering. You remember that? You remember that? Now we're in the 10th chapter. As the story continues, we find a very interesting thing that's taking place. The bodies were taken away, removed. In verse 6 of chapter 10, and Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not cover your heads. I'm sorry, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothing. That was the way of mourning, may of loss. You'd rip your clothes off because you've lost something. You lost something very special to you. Now, the clothing they had on, what kind of clothing was it? Holy clothing. And they could not take the turban off because they were already sanctified and they're in the dwelling place of God. Do not remove your clothing. Now he allowed Aaron's uncle's nephews to come in and take away the bodies. That's it. They came in and they got them and they took them away. Now we're at this point where it says here, at least you die. You don't rip those clothes off. Don't take the turban off. And the wrath come upon you. Wrath comes upon Aaron and the two sons. Wrath comes upon whom? The congregation. Verse 6. It says, the wrath come upon the people. You remember we had... Yes.
It's very interesting that it says, because they were burned, and yet they carrying them out by their tunics.
We think they were burned up like ashes. Not necessarily, tunics, they weren't burned into like fire, because their clothes were burned as well. No, they had to pick up by the garments and carry them out. The garments were not damaged, because they were still holy garments. Just the bodies was damaged. And they didn't burn up into ashes. They're just, it just killed them. The fire from God does not necessarily flames and fire and smoke and cinder. It just kills. It just plain kills. Sudden and quick. It's like having electrical shock. You touch electrical. Okay. It's not quite like that, but similar to that point where they didn't burn up in fire and flame and smoke going rising up to heaven. No. They were still inside their garments. They were dead. And they were hauled away. We use that in our term, modern term, because that's how we picture fire. We always picture fire that way. It's earthly fire we look at. We look at fire from earth. When fire comes from above, that's different. Yes.
For me, the point that I hear here is, how often do we consider our actions affecting the whole community?
Correct. Basically, how it affects not only the whole community, but especially those who are very, very near to you. Family members, friends, workers, fellow workers, those who are around about you at all times. But let's go back here to this particular place, because I want to keep our mind on what's happening here, so we have a picture of what God is really trying to show. You remember we went through the when a priest sins, he must offer certain things. And then it says the people, because of the actions of what the priest did, they must also offer certain offerings of sin offering, a whole offering, and a shalom offering. Lest they be cursed. So the actions. Now look at our world right now. The actions of any, let's say, our president of the United States, our senators, our governors, our representatives, if they do something that's wrong, who pays for it? We do. And we still our guilt, might say. We didn't do it, but it happened to us. But yet, the same God says, I've got to make you clean. I've got to make you atonement with me. I have to make you at one with me. Okay, this is what you must do as a group. Because the people, by the way, have a tendency to idolize their leaders, idolize their priests, idolize their ministers, idolize their evangelists. They worship them to a point, and they believe everything is going on with them, and all of a sudden that goes bad, and all of a sudden they're, what happened? So it is a point for human beings and responsibility of the people to pay attention. Because if God did not command it, what must you do? Not do it. Okay? Irregardless what the high priest does, or the king does, or what the general does, or anybody else does. You'll feel the consequences because wrath will come upon you by one way or another. But it really, it's important for us to know that it's for the people's sake. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, continue on in verse 6, bewail the burning which Yeshua has killed, or the killing which he just got through doing. Go ahead and let the congregation. Aaron, don't rip your clothes off. What's the other three? Michael and Eliphaz and the sons of... That's the wrong one. What am I looking for? Eleazar and Thamar, don't you wail. Don't you be merged. Don't you whine or cry. Let the people do that. Let them rip their clothes off. Let them take the hat off. Let them do the wailing and the sigh and the crying. Yes.
When they were to uncover their head, because God said, don't...
They were in the Holy of Holies.
Right. But my question is, did all the house of Israel, all the children of Israel, when they went to the tabernacle, they had to cover their head?
Doesn't say that.
It doesn't
say that at all. Okay. Don't interpret that, and it means that everybody did it. It just has a different... The covering of the head is something that is quite biblical toward the Levitical priesthood. That's primary number one thing. We won't go there today because that's not what I want to go for. And he says, you will not go out from the door of the meeting, lest you die. Okay? And they did according to the word of the Lord. Yes, they sure enough did. And he says, do not drink wine or intoxicated drink while you're in the Holy of Holies doing the function which you're supposed to do. You're sanctified to do this, and your sons are sanctified to do that. Make sure that each one does according to what the tabernacle meeting or the congregation of the appointments or the dwelling place of God. Lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, throughout the high priesthood's generation. Yes.
1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Right.
So I'm taking that.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with that at all. That's written. Okay. But verse 10, it says, now that's something else that the high priest is supposed to do. And the sons of the high priest are supposed to do. That you may distinguish what? What that is holy and that which is unholy. Between that which is unclean and that which is clean. Now that's the function. They are to do something. And verse 11, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which Yahuwah has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. So that's the function of the priesthood. That's a function of Aaron. It's a function of all the sons of Aaron. Yes.
So for they to distinguish the holy from the unholy.
Yes.
On verse 9 it says, don't drink strong drink.
When you're in
so
the Holy of Holies.
So you between holy and
unholy. Right. When you're in the Holy of Holies, sanctified to do a certain job, this is what you will do.
So am I understanding it right? God said, do not drink
right.
strong drink while you're in
the sanctuary,
the service,
in the Holy of Holies.
So
you're
that
in the tabernacle.
You distinguish what is holy and what is not holy. Is that what I'm...
That's what it... Okay. Yeah, and then drink. To teach the people what is holy, what is not holy. What is unclean and what is clean. That's the function of the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. Now, is that also the function of Yahuwah? Not the function of Yahweh? Yeshua? Yes.
So basically that means Richard can't be up there sloshed when he's teaching.
And I don't. Neither does Daniel, neither does Jeff. What they do after they finish their job, sanctuary, okay, that's, we're out of the sanctuary. But we're not really in the sanctuary, we're happening to be in this place called, what? What's the name? Oh yes, it's in a, Grange, yeah, okay. I'm not a political priest. I am not a high priest. I'm not a low priest. I'm just Richard. Okay? That's it. I don't claim to be something I'm not. I'll let God claim who I am and let it be. All right? That's my thought. And of course now, verse 12, they are to take the Aaron and his two sons. They were to take the whole offering, the grain offering, and the remaining offering made by fire to Yahweh, and eat it without leaven, beside the altar. It is most holy, and this is Moses is saying this. Okay, and you shall eat of it in a holy place because it is true. Do you and your sons for the sacrifices or the Karban, made by fire to Yahuwah, For I have, so as I have commanded you. Now, talk about different breast part, and you get different thigh, all that kind of stuff. And the sons and his daughters get to eat, by the way. So the daughters get to eat food, too. They're not out there starving to death. Imagine the mamas are also getting something to eat. they're due, and the sons are due. This has to do with the sin offering and the sacrifices of the Shalom offering, or peace offering, it's called. And all of that, keep on, brought it on down. Let's drop down now. And verse 16, and Moses made carefully inquiry about the goat of the sin offering and where it was burnt up. And he was angry with the two brothers. Did you see that? Angry with the two brothers. What was he angry for? Well, he says, wait a minute. Why have you not eaten of the sin offering, which is commanded by God, in the holy place, where it's commanded by God, since it's most holy, and Elohim, who has given it to you to bear the what? The perversities of the congregation. Or what we call sin, actually says guilt. And to make an atonement for them. That's the object. So the priest and his family, including the daughters, were to partake of this in order that they will carry the burden, or they will take and they will take on the responsibility or the guilt of the congregation. Now, is that not strange?
Do you think they were overtly trying to avoid that, or
whom?
The two that wouldn't eat.
Oh, we'll find out. The chapter continues, but I'm not at this point. Right, this.
Okay. Aren't this the priesthood? The sons should be. I would think eating in there, but I don't know about the daughters and the wives in the holy place.
Well, no, not necessarily. We'll talk about that a little later. They would have taken the food outside for the daughters and the mothers to have. They didn't have to eat it all up in that one point place. But for those brothers, they had to be in the holy place. Yes.
Okay. This is actually probably... Yeah, I'm sorry if this is a divergent. But do you think that there's any kind of connection between that and the communion that we take?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
My opinion? No. What was the object of them to do this? What were they supposed to do? Yes.
It just looks like something else is happening here.
Well, we need to find out what else is happening here. And that's what's important.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What's happening here?
We will find out what's happening here. And we have to accept that's what it is. That's what took place. And what took place was they didn't partake of it. Why? They're supposed to do something. It's supposed to make an atonement for them before Yahuwah. Did they make an atonement before Yahuwah? Did they or did they not? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Now we have to continue on with the story to understand how God is looking at things. What is the purpose of this action? The action at the very beginning was because of what? I did not command them to do it. Point one. Therefore, the life was taken. Yes.
I'm seeing a huge picture here of mercy. Well, mercy, how do you see mercy? Jehovah is giving specific detailed instruction because the whole context is this is about making atonement for the people.
Right.
If you are stepping out of this, then, as you mentioned earlier, the others suffer. So we need to see the perfect picture of what's holy, what's unholy, what's clean, what's unclean, because we roll into chapter 11 with this.
Okay.
So we need to see that perfect picture, which we obviously know is Yeshua.
So, okay, put that in thought. Put that in thought in your mind. Did Aaron act wrong or did he act as a function of a high priest? Keep that in mind. Very, very important to find out the meaning of what took place. Remember, Moses was angry? Very furious. What did Aaron say to his older brother? And his older brother kept silent. Accepted it and agreed with it. Yes.
This one says, and Aaron said to Moses, look, this day they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. So yeah. That sounds like he's recognized that something's wrong, right?
What did he recognize? What did Aaron recognize? And it says, and Moses heard it, and he was content. Answer was correct. Response was correct. What was the object God agreed with Moses' statement? With Aaron's statement. This has been enough to grieve me. This is too much for me. What was God looking for? What was God looking for in the man, Aaron? What was he looking for? Doesn't say a broken and contrite spirit, did it? But what he did, God accepted it. And Moses said, okay, so it is. He said, if I partake of the food that is supposed to be for the sin offering, in order that the people may have an atonement, that they may have at one with God, would that be acceptable to Yahuwah? What is it that Aaron is saying? What did he understand? What did he see? Did he see joy or sorrow? And he knew something, or began to understand something about the function of the duties of a high priest. What does a high priest, what happens to the high priest? He loses an awful lot. He loses tremendous. And these are two brothers, two sons that he lost. And you can't get them back. You can't get the people back. This is God. And how is God going to handle this? He does not look for, and this is David, sacrifice is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for one who will carry the guilt for the people and make an atonement with them and God. Aaron understood something. It has to be a very holy person to be able to take away the sins of the people and make a final atonement. The animal eating the food was not the thing that God would accept. And Aaron came to know that and understand it. And I think the reason why Moses backed down is because Moses is already told by God what was going to happen in the future. This is why Moses backed down. Said, okay, you got it right. Because God told Moses, but didn't tell Aaron. Now Aaron knows. It's going to take a priest, a different priesthood, a different priest, who's going to take away this and make atonement for, pay the guilt, pay that cost. It's going to take a certain person to take it away.